Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do come before you again to ask, please, again for your blessing, that you would send your Holy Spirit into our hearts to speak to us this night, that he would warm us and soften us, that he would open us to hear and believe and to keep your truth. Grant us, please, Lord, your living word. In Jesus' name, amen. Ruth chapter 3 is about three things. It's about rest and risk and redemption. Rest, risk, and redemption. In search of a lasting resting place, Ruth will undertake a risky act of faith, but it will be rewarded with the gift of her redemption. And so I hope to show you that this is a passage that speaks directly to some of our deepest longings, some of our deepest needs as human beings. Because it is about the good news of redemption, about how our families can be healed, about how our souls can be healed from all the effects of sin. Because we have a righteous and a faithful Redeemer. It speaks about our need for rest, real lasting rest, for real peace and contentment and security and stability. But it teaches us we can only find this rest if we are willing to take that risky leap of faith to put ourselves under the care of the Redeemer. Our great need is this redemption, our healing. At the beginning of chapter 3, some time has passed since the events of chapter 2. And Ruth and Naomi have been given this small glimmer of hope. Here they are as vulnerable, poor widows and defenseless and weak. They've suffered the death of their family. But then God, in his kindness, has brought them to Boaz. And under his protection, they've been allowed to glean in his fields and so not starve. So they found a small measure of shelter from life's storms under the shadow of the wings of a faithful and righteous man. But as this chapter begins, the harvest season is drawing to a close. And Naomi is beginning to think about the long-term future. She wants to find a lasting solution to their problems, a permanent solution for Ruth's future. She longs for Ruth to find rest. It says in verse 1, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you?" Well, the word in Hebrew that's translated as security in English is the word manoah, which actually means literally resting place. It's from where we get the name Noah. "And that it may be well with you," connected to rest, is a reminder of the promise of the fourth commandment and to honouring your mother and father in the fifth commandment. It means literally a resting place. A lasting, secure place of shelter and stability, of having a home, of having peace and provision. Naomi wants Ruth to have a place where she's no longer going to have to do that back-breaking work of harvesting somebody else's leftovers just to get by. She wants her to have a permanent harbour for the rest of her life, a lasting home. So we see here this deep longing for rest. There are several important thoughts for us contained in this idea of rest. First, that we see that God intended our human families to be places of rest. That the family, husband and wife, children, sons and daughters, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, These roles were created and the family bound together by God. And it is God's purpose that the family should be a place of rest. The family is meant to be the place where you find strength and shelter from life. It's meant to provide stability and protection, especially when life turns nasty. And the family is God's gift to us as human beings, to give us love and nurture and calm. Families are meant to share in each other's sorrows and carry each other's burdens and to pick each other up when one falls down. The family, whatever shape and size it comes in, is meant to be a place of rest. Shouldn't that make us thankful if we're blessed with a family? If we've been raised in a Christian home, surely we'll be able to say, yes, that's how it was for me. What a blessing to have a Christian family. And we should recognize how privileged we are, especially today when there's such a breakdown of family. There's such disorder in the family. And it's a challenge that whatever your place in your family, you are called to help make your family a place of rest. God has put you in your particular family so that you will show kindness to them, so that you will provide for your family. You will shelter your family. Because remember, the great theme of the book of Ruth is loving kindness. That special quality of love and of grace, much more than just natural love. The love that God shows to us that is patient and merciful and kind, that we are then meant to show in all our relationships. Loving kindness means loyalty and sacrifice for the good of the other and faithfulness. And now, more than ever, when there's such chaos in the world about family, as Christians, we must practice loving kindness in our homes. We are meant to show loving kindness in our families. But then, as a reverse, don't we also see in Ruth and her family the terrible effects of sin? Here are Noemi and Ruth without a family, without a resting place. Perhaps nowhere do we feel the painful consequences of sin more keenly than in our families. Does it not make you ashamed and grieved tonight when you think about how sinful you are towards your family? How all kinds of selfishness and pride, impatience and harshness manifest themselves in your heart, even towards your family. And how sin as a whole just causes such havoc that it tears families apart. How many families are damaged through sin in the world? The Christian idea of a family as a covenant unit, this shelter of loving kindness, has been under sustained attack in Western society for over a generation. Divorce has become an acceptable everyday occurrence. Men and women living together but unmarried. Children abandoned or neglecting their parents. Families who reject one another and turn from each other. This is the sad effect of sin that we see daily all around us. And no doubt we have all suffered in different ways from what sin has done in our families. Either we have sinned and hurt them, or we have suffered from our family's sin. And of course, just like Ruth and Naomi, our families may have suffered from death. And we have lost loved ones. And so we long for rest. We long for the family to be all that God created it to be. But this is part of this deeper longing we have within us for a perfect and complete rest. This emptiness in our hearts that nothing in the world can satisfy. We are restless. Always dissatisfied. Always looking after something else. Always wanting something more. Hardly ever content. This is also the effect of sin within us. This restlessness within us. This inner turmoil and yearning. So that no matter what we do, no matter how we try to fill the void with pleasures or success, it does not do it. And how we never feel quite secure. We worry. We worry about tomorrow. We worry about today. We worry about things that might never be. and about things that have already happened. Indeed, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. The salvation that we need is that of rest. Have you ever considered how frequently in the scriptures salvation is described as rest? To be set free from this treadmill of sin, to be free from all anxiety, to know that every need has been met, to have a real peace that lasts and a love that fills this emptiness. And salvation is our need for a manoah, a place of rest. Well, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ has come to give us this rest. He has come to heal broken relationships. He has come to heal the broken human family and create one new family in us, the people of God. And he's come to heal that emptiness within us, which only he can satisfy. Didn't the Lord Jesus say, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I will give you this salvation, this fulfillment, this completion that you're looking for. I will give you eternal peace and prosperity. I will heal your wounds and give you security. Or the passage we heard this morning in Hebrews 4, that eternal life in heaven is called God's rest, assuring in his rest of the Sabbath day, a delight in all that is good in creation. There remains a rest for the people of God. This is the rest that's restored to us through Jesus Christ, which we receive when we trust in him. Ruth and Naomi were longing for this rest. And Naomi knew that Ruth needed a family to have some rest in this world, just as rest is found for us in the family of God. And so that then brings us to the great risk that Ruth was willing to take. Because Naomi has hatched a plan. Is it a dangerous thing when the mother-in-law has a plan? A dangerous, risky plan. It's a plan that could go wrong in many different ways, with devastating consequences for them both. But Ruth embraces it because she trusts in God. So what is Naomi's plan? Well, she believes that the kindness that Boaz has shown them so far must mean that he is a truly righteous man. His mercy in giving them food might mean that Boaz is willing to give them a lot more as well. As a close relative of Naomi, he might take on the role of a redeemer. Now, this concept of a redeemer is quite straightforward. It was an important part of the law of Israel and her culture. If someone fell into debt or into slavery, a close family member could redeem them. They could settle the debt. They could win back what had been lost. If they had lost their portion of the promised land, their inheritance, a redeemer had the right and responsibility to get that land back, to buy it back, to restore it to the family. But you mustn't think of this role of a redeemer as a mechanical or dry or dusty legal thing. A redeemer means a healer, a restorer, one who puts the family back together, one who repairs what's broken, one with responsibility to restore life where there was death. And a redeemer, through this family unity, had an organic oneness with the needy person. So this isn't really about some legal obligation. It's an act of love, of providing shelter for your family in need. And closely related to this law of the Redeemer was the law of Levirate marriage. In Israel, in the Old Covenant, if a man died without a male heir, his brother or a close relative was expected to father a child for his dead brother, so that his name would carry on, his line and his inheritance would carry on, as if the man could continue to live. Now, I know that might sound very strange to our ears, but to the people of Israel and other ancient cultures, they had a far more communal understanding of family and of life together. And again, this is not a selfish or just a legal act. This was a sacrificial role for a man to take on, to bring life back to the dead, to lovingly repair the bonds of family, the covenant that had been broken. Like a link on a chain that's been broken, they were to come and be the replacement link at cost to themselves. And of course, in the nature of family, the Redeemer and the Levirate keeper could well be the same person. Now this is what Naomi is thinking of when she wants Ruth to go to Boaz. She wants her to ask Boaz to take on these roles for them. But what comes across in the passage is just what a risky move this is. This is a great risk. First, because Boaz is not the closest living relative. He's not the first man who is legally, rightfully to take this role. And in a small town like Bethlehem, Naomi would have known this. And so there is a sense in which Boaz is under no obligation at all. Strictly speaking, it is presumptuous, it is daring to go to Boaz, as he's not the closest candidate. Secondly, it's risky, because Naomi sends Ruth to propose marriage to Boaz. She tells her to wash herself, anoint herself, put on her garment. Now, there is little doubt that in context that means get dressed as if for a marriage. In today's words, put on your wedding dress. Put on the best garment, perfume yourself as you would on the day of your wedding. Now, still today, it's more common for the man to propose to the woman. It might be considered today unusual if the woman pursues the man and hunts him down and she were to get down on one knee and ask him to marry her. But it would have been considered far more unusual, taboo, for Ruth to approach a man in ancient Israel and to ask for marriage like this. This is a risky plan. And consider too, Ruth is a Moabitess. She has come from a despised alien people. She is a social inferior to Boaz. She is an outsider. Now perhaps that's why the other Redeemer has not got involved. But then Naomi's plan gets even riskier, because she wants Ruth to go and find Boaz alone at night at the threshing floor. Now, what is a threshing floor? Well, it would have been a large flat area just outside the town, somewhere that where there would always be a good breeze, a good gust of wind. And the farmers would take their crops there in order to winnow them out and to separate the wheat from the chaff. They'd cast the crops up into the air, and the wind would carry out of it the useless chaff. And then they'd be left with piles of their good crop ready to sell. But at harvest time, as in here, all the men would come and do this together. And they would have a party. They would celebrate. So there would be lots of drinking, perhaps dancing, celebrating. As it says in verse 7, Boaz had a merry heart. He had eaten and drunk well that night. So, can you imagine, there's lots of farmers and young men, a bit too much wine, all celebrating together away from home, just asking for trouble. And in fact, we know that going to the threshing floor became a kind of euphemism for all kinds of immoral liaisons, for sexual immorality. And it is thought that prostitutes would gather at the threshing floor to entice the men. Remember, the story of Ruth is taking place in the time of the judges, when Israel was a moral cesspit. So Ruth is in great danger. She could be attacked or accosted by some drunken yob. Perhaps even worse, Boaz might prove to be no better than anyone else and could take advantage of her. Or Ruth could be mistaken for a prostitute and lose her honor and be shamed. So this is a risky plan from beginning to end, with only a slim chance of success. But Ruth puts the plan into action. And she goes in secret to the feast. And she watches and she waits until Boaz is alone. And then she lays herself down at his feet. Ruth and Naomi are risking everything on Boaz's character. They are trusting in the righteousness and loving kindness of Boaz. Though the little glimpse they've had of him so far has convinced them he is a trustworthy man, a man of loving kindness. And so they make this risky leap to put themselves into his arms. Why this elaborate plan of secrecy to go there in this way? Well, no doubt that was to provide a way out for Boaz. If Boaz had been publicly approached by Ruth, then that might publicly have embarrassed him. Either he'd have felt an obligation that he didn't really want to take on himself, or if he'd said no, then it would have been the ruin of Ruth publicly. And so this is to preserve their honour, this way that it's done in secret. But then there's one part of the plan where Ruth disobeys Naomi. Naomi had told her to lie at Boaz's feet and wait for him to speak. But Ruth, in bold, daring faith, goes further. She quotes Boaz's own words back to him. And she asks him to both marry her and become her redeemer all at once. Because what she says to Boaz has a double meaning. She asks him to cover her with his wing. Now, the word for wing in Hebrew is the same that you would use for garment, which is how you would make a marriage proposal. Normally, the man would cast his cloak over the woman as a sign of her being his betrothed. But those same words could also mean shelter me under your wings. The same words that Boaz had spoken to her at their first meeting. She is asking Boaz to be the means that God will use to redeem her and be this covenant redeemer through marrying her. There is an important point to make here. The scripture assures us that nothing immoral or improper happened between Ruth and Boaz that night. Up to this point, Ruth has shown a worthy and virtuous character. It would be a major change of character if this was about her seducing Boaz, as some have attempted to say the scripture means. And they would have been guilty of a serious sin if they had engaged physically with each other at this point. But Ruth is not attempting to seduce him. She appeals to Boaz's loving kindness, not to his passions. She appeals to his faithfulness to take on this sacrificial role of redeemer. And indeed, the words in Hebrew are very specific. It does not say Ruth uncovered the feet of Boaz, which could be a euphemism for something more. But it says Ruth lay down in the place of his feet, which is different. And it does not say Ruth slept with Boaz, but that literally, and the word is loon, she lodged with him. A word that means there is no physical contact, that it is entirely innocent. And so the story is one of purity in marriage. And it is surely one of the most beautiful expressions of the kind of loving kindness that there should be again in the family. That as Christians, we should uphold the purity of marriage, the purity of the family, and that all sexual activity and immorality outside of marriage is a sin. And perhaps even if they were tempted, Ruth and Boaz show loving kindness, purity, faithfulness, loyalty. That's what loving kindness looks like in our relationships. And so we see Ruth shows us that real faith is willing to risk. It's willing to risk and venture everything upon the righteousness of another. It's willing to entrust all of life into the faithfulness of a Redeemer. That faith is seeking shelter under the cover of a righteous Redeemer. One who, perhaps even if you've only had a glimpse so far, but you've seen that he's righteous, that he's trustworthy, that his character means you can rely on him. And then faith is that risky leap, like Ruth takes, to say, take me, be my Redeemer. What we're seeing here is a glorious picture of saving faith. Because this is what it means to have faith in Jesus Christ. That faith is a risk. It's not just believing certain things about Jesus and agreeing with them. Faith is risking everything. That you give it all over to him. That you come to him and say, cover me with the shadow of your wings. Jesus, I risk it all. I risk you turning me away because I'm a sinner. I risk my whole life changing. I risk what others might think of me. But I trust you because you are faithful. And so if you're in search of rest tonight, the answer is that you need to make that risky leap of faith into the arms of Christ. And if you have, and you are saved, will you trust him even more with whatever worries you have? Will you truly risk everything and put them in his hands and trust him to help you and deal with you? Let go of your worries and take shelter under his trustworthiness and righteousness. Be like Ruth and entrust everything to your Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Which of course brings us to the wonderful conclusion of this passage. Ruth finds a Redeemer. Her faith is rewarded. It's significant that the first word Boaz says is blessed. Blessed are you. He promises he will do what she asks. He will marry her. He will redeem her and Naomi's lands. He will father an heir and buy back the lands they've lost. He will see that either this other Redeemer does his duty, or better yet, he'll do it himself. He is indeed a righteous man, a man who is faithful, a man of steadfast love. And then try to picture the scene in your mind, this beautiful scene. Ruth goes to sleep at his feet. All her worries are over. She can lay this burden of her care for Naomi down. Notice it doesn't say that Boaz lay down and went to sleep. No doubt he sat up the rest of the night, watching over her, thinking through how to put the plan into action in the morning and protecting her. But Ruth finds rest because she's under the care of her Redeemer. And then in the morning, Boaz gives her a token, a pledge and a down payment of all that he will do for her, an earnest of her inheritance. He overloads her with a heavy weight of grain, enough to feed a family for a year. He's abundantly generous. You see, it's a way of Boaz saying, look, I'm not going back on my word. This wasn't just something I said in the middle of the night when I was half asleep. These six measures of food she carries back assure her of Boaz's love. And then as a wonderful contrast to the restlessness of Ruth at the beginning, the passage ends with Naomi saying, Boaz will not rest until he has concluded this matter today. Now, Boaz, the Redeemer, is restless, meaning he won't stop until this work is complete, until the family is healed and brought back to life by his loving intervention. So let me suggest again that this is wonderful good news for you and for me. We have a greater Boaz. We have our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. He, in becoming a man, the Son of God, leaving heaven and taking on human flesh, it was so he could be a Redeemer. So there would be that oneness with us in that organic way of a bond with us. And as our relative, our brother, he has redeemed us. He's paid the price of our debts. And now he watches over us to secure us and save us. And he will not rest until all is completed. You know, there's a wonderful sense in which we can be assured the work has been completed. That when he died upon the cross to redeem us, he said, "It is finished." And then when he rose again and ascended to the Father, it was to rest, to sit down at his right hand, because everything needed to redeem us had been done. And then he has sent to us a down payment, an earnest of our inheritance to assure us. He has poured out the rich measures of the Holy Spirit upon us, who dwells in us, so that you and I never need doubt his love ever again. Because the Spirit is with us, we know that our Redeemer will not rest until the work is complete. And so there is great hope for you. If your family is broken, the Redeemer can heal it. If your family has been broken through sin, if it's suffering the effects of sin, what must you do? Give your family into his hands. The Redeemer can heal it. And if your soul is aching for rest, come to the Redeemer. Jesus Christ can heal you and give you rest. So, brothers and sisters, tonight, I pray that you might go to sleep tonight like Ruth, without a worry in your souls. Sleep easy. Let go of your needs and worries into the hands of your Redeemer. The Keeper of Israel neither slumber nor sleeps, but watches over you. Risk everything into his hands, and the Redeemer will not rest until you know perfect rest. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for being our Redeemer. Thank you for becoming a man, for joining yourself to us in the closest way possible, so that as a member of our family you could redeem us. Lord, thank you for your love in saving us. Thank you, Lord, for that heavy weight you bore upon the cross, that we might go free. Lord, we come to you tonight with all our fears and worries, with our very souls. We come to you, Lord, with all our fears and griefs about our families. And Lord, we want to commit them into your hands. We would, Lord, gladly entrust them to your care and ask you, Lord, to shelter us, to redeem us fully. Bless us, please, Lord, this night with peace. Peace in our homes and peace in our souls. And may this be, Lord, to your praise and glory. Our most wonderful Redeemer. Amen.